I want us to open our Bibles again this morning in the Psalm 37. We've been meditating upon the Word of God here. And I just want to read just some verses, the first six verses only, of the 37th Psalm. We pray that God will help us to continue our meditation and study upon the Word, and that God will open our understanding to it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And we pray that God will just bless his word to our hearts. We know he always does, as we have read it together here in the house of the Lord. In our meditation already, we have that overarching statement in the opening verse. We're not afraid ourselves because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But then the Spirit of God doesn't stop there. The Spirit of God tells us, instead of our fretting, what we are to do. And we're getting instruction here from God's word. This is practical walking with God. This is practical victory for the child of God in very difficult and very hard times. Whenever they see the prosperity of the wicked, it seems to be that the enemies of the gospel seem to be getting everywhere and everything. And of course, at times, we get discouraged and even envious in our hearts against them. And the Word of God says, first of all, we have studied verse 3, it says we are to trust in the Lord. In other words, we have to have confidence in the Lord. We're to trust him for everything. And then we notice, secondly, in verse 4, last Lord's Day, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Not only be confident in the Lord, but we are to be cheerful in the Lord. And the Lord loveth, the Bible says, a cheerful giver. But God wants his people to be glad, not sad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we said last Lord's Day that whenever we think about being delighted in the Lord and be cheerful in the Lord, we are to delight in the worship of the Lord. We're to delight in the word of the Lord. We're to delight ourselves in the will of the Lord. And there are so many things that God says that we are to delight ourselves in. And then we study this second part of that verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And we sought to bring to you what the Word of God means by that. And God will fulfill us and fulfill that promise to us, that if we delight ourselves in the Lord and in his will, and by the Spirit of God, that we would desire only those things that will honor and glorify his name. He said that he will give us the desires of our hearts, because our hearts, if we're in tune with God and fellowship with the Lord, will desire what he wants, not desire the fulfillment of the passions or the lusts of the flesh, but that we'll desire the things that the Spirit of God implants upon our hearts, the desires which are in accordance to his precious word. Your wants will be in his will. And then, thank God, you will have then what you want when it is in his will. So therefore, it says, verse 4, that we are to be cheerful in the Lord. Now, we're coming to verse number 5 and 6. And it says here in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And here, surely, you see the next C coming. Because it is commit. Have a commitment. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. Be cheerful in the Lord. Listen, Be committed to the Lord. Be committed to the Lord. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now, what does it mean to commit? What is that word? It says here, commit thy way unto the Lord. It's something we have to do. Therefore, it's important that we know what it means. And the word commit there is the word meaning to roll, to roll. In other words, it means rolling a heavy burden from one place to another. In fact, when you read it here, it really means rolling something from one person to another. In other words, unrolling or rolling and unburdening your heart and bringing it to the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, the load that many of God's children are carrying is a heavy load. I know that there are members of this congregation today and you're carrying a heavy burden. Some are carrying the heavy burden of sorrow because the death has come into your home and life has never been the same. And friend, before God, God knows what's in your heart today and you're carrying a very heavy burden. Maybe as far as others are concerned, maybe they think that it doesn't mean the same to you today, but deep in your heart, you know exactly what's going on. And you're carrying a heavy burden. If we could put a window on your heart today, we would see someone with a very, very heavy burden. Maybe someone is carrying a heavy burden, not because of sorrow, but because of sickness. And friend, before God, maybe nobody else knows about it, but God knows that in your life and in your body, you're carrying a heavy load. What am I to do with a load, preacher? Maybe there's someone here and it's not sickness and it's not sorrow, but maybe it's a family, circumstances. There's circumstances in the home. And friend, maybe as far as everybody else is concerned, everything seems well. The garden's filled with roses, but you know and God knows that there's problems there. There's problems in the home. There's problems with the family. And friend, you can't walk around crying every day. But listen, many times that's just exactly what you feel that you need to do. It's the only way of getting rid of this awful burden, this awful pressure that's upon you. You just feel like sitting down and collapsing underneath the load. And you feel just like Elijah under the juniper tree. The load's so heavy. He sat down there and he wept before God and he said, Lord, just let me die. Because the spark has gone out of life. Circumstances. Maybe it's not in the home. Maybe it's other circumstances. Friend, things in your life and you can't get over them. And they're pressing upon you. And not only are they pressing, listen, they're driving you down. And you once were joyful. You once had a joy in your heart. You once were a happy person. But somehow the spark's gone out of life. And you could say, preacher, if only people could know what's going on in my heart. I'm bearing such a heavy load, such a heavy burden. If they could only see my way. Maybe it's financial. Maybe there's circumstances there again that nobody knows anything about. Friend, you're carrying heavy loads. Now, what does the Word of God say here? It says here, commit thy way unto the Lord. In other words, that load is too heavy for you and me. But what are we to do with it? I believe the Word of God tells me and instructs me, here is victorious Christian living, friend, that if I could only get this into my heart and practice it in my life would be different. God can put the sparkle back into your life again. God can put the smile on your face again and the joy of the Lord into your heart again. You say, can that really happen? Yes, praise God, it can. Well, then what do? I need it. I want it. I long for it. What can I do, preacher? Tell me. I tell you, my friend, I'm not going to tell you what the preacher thinks. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost says, what the God of heaven says. And here in this book, God says, listen, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit your way. You know what that means? Know what God's wanting you to roll? A rolling of a heavy burden from one place to another, from your heart to someone else. And we'll come to that just in a moment. Where do I roll it, preacher? Where? To whom do I roll this burden? Notice it says, commit thy way. And friend, let me say this. You see, that way, that means every detail of your life, your way. That means everything. And just doesn't mean some things. You see, some people have got this idea that I can bring some things to the Lord. Maybe there's these things and I can just tell the Lord about them, but they're things. To be honest, you're carrying your heart. You've never told anyone, not even God. Maybe just whenever it comes to talk about them or even to think about them, you're so broken. But the Word of God says, commit thy way. That includes every detail of your everyday living. That means every detail of your family. That means every detail of your daughter and your son and your wife and your husband. That means every detail of your sickness or your sorrow. That means every detail of your life, friend. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Just keep your hand there. Turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, it says in verse 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's it. It's the Lord. The Lord's the answer. See, where do I roll my burden? You know, if I tell my wife, I'm going to burden her. If I tell my husband, I'm going to burden him. If I tell my children, I'm going to burden them. Preacher, the burden is so great. Where do I take it? Listen, commit thy way unto the Lord. Bring God into the circumstance. Bring God into the circumstance. You say, well, I've tried to do that. Notice what it says there, commit thy way unto the Lord. Listen, trust also in him. You see, what you really mean sometimes is this. In committing it on to the Lord, friend, it's rehearsing the problem to the Lord. You've just told the Lord about it. But you never trusted him with it. It says in the Word of God, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Notice the word there, cast. Roll it off. You see, when you cast a stone, friend, you're not standing with a stone in your hand, or you haven't cast it at all. You see, when you cast a stone or a pebble, it means you let go. You let go. And I'll tell you, that's why many of God's children are in defeat today. I want to tell you, brother, sister, you're living a life of defeat because you haven't let go. You haven't let go. You're holding on to something. And somehow, my friend, you cannot get over it. You cannot let go. And I say to you in God's name, if you don't let go, I want to tell you, you're not committing it unto the Lord. You may have told the Lord 1,000 times about it, but I want to tell you, you never committed it unto the Lord. You never cast that burden upon the Lord, because you never let go. And I tell you, you keep the burden and you'll be miserable tomorrow. You learn what it is to commit to roll the burden onto the Lord, and I'll tell you this, God will put joy back into your heart, because you're not only committing it onto him, you're trusting him to handle it. You're trusting him to handle it. Remember that little verse over in 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care. Use that word again. Casting. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you.
A challenge, a blessing.
Have you caught the truth of that? casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Mother and father in this meeting, when your child comes to you with a broken heart, and their heart is breaking, and they're sobbing, and their tears are falling down their cheeks, you put your arms around them. Somehow, in the embrace, you're saying to your child, darling, I love you. Yes, Daddy cares. Mommy cares for you. And friend, let me tell you this. God cares for you. He does. He says in his book. And if you and I could learn what it is to cast our care upon him, you know, God would change our hearts and lives. Because it says in Psalm 55, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Praise God, he'll bring you through. He'll keep you in the midst of the greatest affliction. It says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You feel like falling apart, friend. You feel like just somehow the rug's been pulled out of from an under you. Life's experience is so difficult, it seems to be that whenever you try to get up and when you try to go on, it seems to be that something comes and just chops the legs from right and under you. I want to tell you this. God says this. He shall never, never, never suffer the righteous to be moved. And I'll tell you, God meant it. But you have to do something. You've got to learn to do this. Dear widow in this service this morning, you've got to learn to do this. You've got to cast your burden. Dear mother, dear friend in this meeting today, you've got to learn to do something. It may sound simple, but I tell you, you need to do this. You need to cast your care upon him. You've got to roll it off. You've got to roll it off. You see, when the stone was rolled away, friend, praise God, Peter and John were able to walk into the tomb. Yeah, the women were too. Why? Because the stone was rolled away. Now, Paul had a great burden. Do you remember, we read it this morning, just keep your hand always in Psalm 37, we'll get back to it, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had a great burden. And you know, whenever Paul was carrying this burden, he called it, verse number 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. But Paul, he said, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. And friend, what did he ask God to do? He said, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I wanted the circumstance. I wanted the thorn, says Paul. I want the thorn, God, I want it removed. And I believe with all my heart that whenever Paul was saying that to God, friend, Paul believed that the thorn was hindering him. It was a hindrance in his life. He believed that. He believed he could do more for God if that thorn was removed. He believed that he would be the better person if that thorn was removed. And that's what he brought to God. He had got a great problem. And then God spoke to him. In verse 9 it says, "And God said unto me," he says, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And then he said this, "By the grace of God, more gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And God said, "My grace is sufficient." You know what Paul found, friend? He found the grace of God was sufficient, and so will we. But notice how the Spirit of God puts it here in verse 5 in Psalm 37. He said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord," that's roll it off or cast it upon the Lord. And then he says this, he says, "Trust also in him." Why did he say that again? He said, verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, verily shall you be fed." Because, friend, when we roll the burden of life upon him, when we roll it upon him, we are to trust him. We're not only to make that commitment of our burden to him, but we are to have in our committing it to him, we are to have the confidence, the total confidence to leave everything in his hand, believing that God is competent to deal with the problem and God to do his best. Maybe you have tried to roll the burden off, friend, but you know deep in your heart you said, you know, there's no use me doing this. You really haven't committed it to the Lord, friend, because you haven't trusted him with it. Do you think God's able to meet the need? Is God able to fulfill what he's promised in his precious word? Now notice what it says here. It says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Now, what do we commit to the Lord? We commit our way unto the Lord. Now, what does a way do, friend? Listen, a way leads to a destination. It leads to a destination. And you know, whenever you and I commit our way unto the Lord, I'll tell you, when you trust the Lord for it, friend, then God will bring what you have committed to him to its appropriate destination. God will bring it, work it out. He will accomplish. You see, what Paul asked the Lord to do was good. He said, humanly speaking, he said, "God, I want you to remove the thorn." And friend, to be honest, if you and I had been in Paul's position, that's exactly what we had asked God to do too. We had said, "God, please, God, take it away. This thorn's hurting. It's hurting me." And God, not only is it hurting, surely it's harming me. And it's not only harming me, God, surely it's hindering me. Why didn't God say, "Yes, yes, yes, Paul, I'll take it away"? Let me tell you, my friend, listen, what Paul asked God, humanly speaking, was a good thing. You see, what God gave him was the best thing. It wasn't what was good, it was what was best. And if you and I learn to commit and roll on to God, friend, that total commitment with a total confidence to leave everything with him, thank God, God will make a way. You know why God can do it? He shall bring it to pass, because God is omnipotent. He is the all-powerful one. Thank God, God can do the impossible. Turn to Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, there's a little statement there. And it sounds a simple little statement for him, but listen to it carefully. It says in verse 13, he divided the sea. This is God's doing. God divided the sea, and he caused them to pass through. He caused them to pass through. What does that mean? God made a way through. He caused them to pass through. And he made the waters to stand as an heap. Now go over to Isaiah chapter 43. And I'm sure you think I'm stopping at the opening verses. I could, because no matter when I go to Isaiah 43, those first three verses just jump out to me because this was a promise God gave to me away years and years ago, over 40 years ago. And he has proved it to be true over and over again. But not stopping there, I want just to go down to another verse. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters. That's what he did. He made a way in the sea. He made a path whenever he stood the waters in the Red, friend. He made a path in the mighty waters. Go to verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and I'll make rivers in the desert. You see, God makes a way. God makes a way. And humanly speaking, it may seem impossible to you. Listen, what I want you to do, brother and sister, in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to come with me just on a wee quick journey as we finish. And I want you in your mind's eye to see how God made a way in the sea, how God made a path. For example, remember old Abraham? Abraham was promised to be the father of a great nation. God promised Abraham that he would give him a son. And yet Abraham was in his old age. He was an old man. But God promised to give him a son in his old age. Now his wife was an old woman and she had been barren all her life. But God said, listen, Abraham, he said, I'm going to give you a son. And then Abraham, you remember, no son came, and he took upon himself Hagar, and he thought he could do what God hadn't done. He brought trouble in his own head. They thought that Ishmael was the son. No, he wasn't the son of the womb of Sarah. God had promised. Listen, is God able to make a way for it? In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells me concerning that story, Hebrews 11, in the verse number 11, it says this, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful. Listen, she judged him faithful. Have you that confidence? Have you judged God faithful? Who had promised? Are you holding on to the promise? You say, I got a promise, but it's not fulfilled. You holding on to the promise, brother? Or you let go? Maybe life has been hurtful and you've let go of the promise. Listen, she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith. Listen, there was no way that this was going to happen. Listen, but didn't God provide the way? Didn't he? He made a way in the sea. Think of the story of Joseph. Joseph was sold into Ishmaelite slavery. He was cast into an Egyptian jail. He was wrongly judged. The butler, remember, he forgot the promise that he made to Joseph. Humanly speaking, all his hopes were dashed to the ground. But what did Joseph do? Forget God? No, he committed his way to the Lord. And you know, friend, let me tell you this. God accomplished all that Joseph's faith had laid hold on. There was no way. But God made a way. It seemed to be hopeless, but God made. Look at the story of Job. Walk through the scriptures, brother. See other believers just like you and me. And Job was a great man. But Job was a man who suffered great losses. Job's heart was broken with sorrow. And friend, humanly speaking, listen, there was no way for Job to recover from a situation. But Job acted in faith. And you know what God did? God gave him double of all that he lost. There was no way. But God made a way. Think of Daniel. Daniel was cast into the den of lions. There was no escape. There was no way out. But God. And God made a way out. And Daniel committed his way to the Lord, friend. And I don't read in God's word that Daniel ran around the den where the lions were in, from one corner to the other, afraid, scared of the circumstances. Don't read that. But what I do know is this, that Daniel's faith laid hold upon him who had promised. And God made a way. Look at Peter in prison. And the early believers in Peter, what did they do? They committed Peter unto the Lord. And God not only answered their prayer, but he did superabundant above all they could ever ask or think. Because whenever Peter went to the house of John Mark and he knocked on the door, and wee Rhoda came to the door, and she heard Peter's voice. It's Peter here. Open up, Rhoda. The wee girl, she ran back into the prayer meeting and she said to him, listen, Peter's here! It can't be. You know, are they like you and me? God can't do this. Friend, I want to tell you, God can. And our destination, thank God, will be reached. Because God says in his word, commit thy way unto the Lord. And God tells us when we do that, it says, he shall bring it to pass. So we hymn in our hymn book, thy way not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. O lead me by thine own right hand, choose out the path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it will be still the best. Winding or straight, it matters not, for it leads me to thy rest. I dare not choose my lot, I would not if I might. But choose thou for me, O my God, so shall I walk aright. Take thou my cup, and it with joy or sorrow fill, as ever best to thee may seem. Choose thou my good or ill. Are you willing to do that, friend? Are you willing to roll that burden? It's crushing you. Are you willing to let go this morning? Whatever it is hindering, because it is. You'll not be the person God wants you to be, and you'll not be the person you know you need to be until you let go and let God take over. Because if you commit thy way unto the Lord, I and trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. See the farmer? He plows the ground, he sows the seed, he harrows it. And then you know what he does? He leaves the harvest with God. He knows he cannot cover the heavens with clouds. He knows he cannot command the rain. He knows he cannot create the dew. He knows he can't bring forth the sun. But praise God, he knows he does well when he leaves the whole matter with God. Please, God, let me live this week. Let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. And with all our hearts we thank thee that we have someone today who cares. Jesus knows all about our struggles. And he will guide till the day is done. For there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Lord, if there be such in this gathering today and they know thee not, they know not what it is to trust in thee. They're walking the life, the journey of life alone. They face the trials, the troubles that face us all. And yet they know not the friend of sinners. They've never trusted him as their Savior, the Lord Jesus. Please, Lord, bring them to yourself this morning. Bless the Spirit of God. Draw them to Christ. And put your arms around the family of God today. And please, God, help us to live victorious lives for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.